Welcome to Fellowship Talks, your weekly connection to the life and ministry of Fellowship Bible Church. It is our desire that this podcast will reinforce your worship on Sundays and encourage you as you live your life for Christ this week. Here are your hosts, Dan Schaefer and Amy Scrivanos.
Welcome to Fellowship Talks. This is the podcast made specifically for Fellowship Bible Church in Central Arkansas. We are one church in multiple locations. We have campuses in Cabot, Arkansas, Benton, Arkansas, and Little Rock, Arkansas. My name is Dan Schaefer, and I'm here with my Fellowship Talks co-host, Amy Scrivanos.
That's right, Dan. I just want to say hi to everyone listening. This podcast is for you. It's not just for us. So we want to share stories that help each of us live a life that's glorifying to God. We know you may be getting ready for work, working out, driving, running, shopping, or many other things. And I just want to say thank you for spending some time with us.
You know, Amy, you're right. There are a lot of different ways that people can listen to Fellowship Talks, and there's a lot of different ways people are listening to Fellowship Talks. We're on iTunes, we're on Google Play, we're even on Spotify. You can even find us on Fellowship's website or on the Fellowship Talks website. And I know a lot of different people are even listening through the Facebook apps too. So I want to hear from our listeners on this, Amy. You know, how do you listen to Fellowship Talks? And what are you doing when you're listening to Fellowship Talks? Why don't you send us a message and let us know how you're listening and what you're doing when you're listening into this midweek edition of Fellowship here that we call Fellowship Talks. So you can text us if you know me and Amy personally. You can text us or you can email Fellowship Talks at fellowshiptalks@fellowshiponline.com. Just let us know. We want to hear from you, our listeners, how you're listening to Fellowship Talks and what you're doing when you're listening.
Yeah, I think we'll get some interesting feedback. So tell us how you listen, and I'm really interested to know.
Yeah. So, Amy, we've had some really interesting things happening around our church lately. A few weeks ago, we announced a new campus that we're praying about, and we're looking to join God in what He's doing in the Midtown area of Little Rock. And as a church, we want to be praying for that. A few weeks ago, several of us here on staff were able to go to a two-day conference that was looking at how to missionally invest in the LGBT community. And then before that, the week before that, there were several of our staff, you included, who went to the MLK 50 conference, the Martin Luther King Jr. 50 conference, 50 years after his assassination. Amy, you want to tell us a little bit about that conference and what you experienced there?
Yeah, sure. So, yeah, it was really a great conference. Just a time for church leaders to come together and talk about where the church is now, 50 years after Martin Luther King's passing, and what's the progress we've made as a church, and then where are the areas where we really have not made good progress, and we need to start making shifts that will move us towards more unity across racial lines. And so it was really, it was good to hear. I think one of the things that really stood out to me, and actually in both of these conferences that we're talking about, there was a similar theme, that one of the things that has been most hurtful from the church has been our silence. And so in times where we should have been standing up for justice and caring for people and speaking up for people and defending them, the church has often been silent, and church members have often been silent, individuals. And I think that was really convicting for me as I heard that, to think about just when are the times when I need to be speaking up on behalf of others.
Yeah, Amy, so I'm glad that you had such a good experience there. And there's many others from our church, staff and members of our church, who went out there. And if you're listening to this and you're interested in and hearing some of that content, you can go out and Google MLK 50 conference and find those sessions, because the organizers of that conference are putting these sessions out there for people to find online and to review some of the speakers that came from across the country to be together and to share and to share what God's doing on their hearts and in their churches and their communities. So
there really were some great speakers and just great talks to just help us get to start thinking more about how we're living out our faith in the church.
That's really good. And that lines up really good with where we are here at Fellowship, because here at Fellowship, we're serious about being on mission. And we have a mission statement that says, making disciples who live by God's grace and for His glory at home and across the world. And making disciples, really, Amy, well, we've talked about this before, it really just means helping other people follow Jesus, real simply. So whether it's in your D group or on worship on Sundays or throughout classes throughout the week here, or your interaction with other people through the week, we want to be on mission here at Fellowship.
We want to go after the mission and live our values. So we have three values at Fellowship: connection, transformation, and multiplication. So today we have a member of our church, David Wasson, here with us on Fellowship Talks to talk about the value of transformation. David, it's so good to have you here with us.
Yes, Amy. Thank you so much for having me.
So David, we're just going to jump right in here. Transformation. We define transformation here at Fellowship as becoming like Jesus in attitude and action. What does that statement mean to you?
Yeah, just a continual growth in the gospel and continual just learning about Jesus and what he teaches. You know, as I think about that, I think about Romans 6, 7, and 8. And when I'm reading through that and just learning about God's grace in those chapters and how that just continues to change our life. And I keep going back to those passages over and over and over and just grow deeper in my understanding of that.
That's good. So we jumped in real quick. Let's back up just a second and tell everybody who David is.
That's right.
Because David, you're a member of our church here.
Yeah.
And some pretty exciting news in the last couple of weeks that
absolutely,
I've heard.
Absolutely, yeah. I just got engaged, so thank you. Yeah,
yes. Congratulations, man. Yeah. And so tell us a little bit about you. What's your life looked like, and who are you?
Yeah, so I guess I can start with coming into the church. I've been here at Fellowship for about 2010, 2011, when I walked in the doors here at Fellowship. So been a part of the Fellowship since that time.
Yeah, about 8 years. That's
good. Yeah, so I've been here for a little bit. And when involved, you know, jumping straight in, was involved in serving here at Fellowship. And then I would say really jumped in after a divorce in 2015, just drew me even closer to the church. Whenever you go through something like that, you reach out and looking for a place, and I'm so thankful to be connected to Fellowship and have people like David Bruins who I could reach out to and have somebody who just could speak the truth, but with love and grace, and be able to minister in that way.
Yeah, so I always ask people this, what attracted you to Fellowship in the first place? Why'd you come to Fellowship?
Right, so I'd, like a lot of people, I'd heard about Fellowship. I mean, the name is out in the community. Whenever I was looking to transfer to Little Rock, I heard about it. And so I checked out other places, but whenever I came to Fellowship, it was just different. It was a different way of doing church. I've grown up in church all my life. My dad's a pastor. And so really, I felt like I grew up in the church. But walking into Fellowship and seeing what's going on here and also visiting with the other members who had been here a lot longer than I had at the time really helped me understand that there was something different about Fellowship than what I'd ever experienced before.
Your dad's not a pastor in Little Rock, is he?
He's not.
Because that would be a little,
yeah,
you know,
appreciate you asking.
Controversial.
He's about 3 hours away. It's a little bit far for a Sunday morning drive. But yeah.
Good, good.
Yeah, so you talk a little bit about how just kind of through some of the things that you've experienced in life, God's really transformed your heart. Can you tell us a little bit more about what that journey has looked like for you, how he's changed your heart?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that journey started with how the gospel makes us new. It's one of the midweek curriculums that we have. And just going into that for the first time, it's as if I started learning about God's grace.
Now, you're talking about the book Renew?
Absolutely.
That Jim Hudson wrote here?
Right, one of our pastors here on staff. And it's just so good. Instead of it being like a book study, it was one that kept pointing me back to Scripture. And although, so there's some commentary around that, the whole basis of that is God's grace and the Scripture and keeps pointing us back to the gospel and what the Bible says about that. And so it's been a big transformation in my life. One of the ways it's done that is my focus has shifted from a focus of perfection to a focus of worship. See, walking in, I can remember even having discussions with pastors and elders here on staff about the difference in perfection to worship. See, I grew up in a church that we had tithe envelopes. And on that tithe envelope, it had your member number, had your name, and then had a spot right there on the side where it did a giving allocation. So some people may remember that. We don't have that here at Fellowship. But on the envelopes where I grew up, it had check boxes. And some of those boxes were like giving, attended worship, Bible read daily, Bible brought to church. And so I would, as I checked those boxes, I feel like my life started to look just like that. So it really didn't matter what that relationship or that walk looked like as long as I'm going to church, check. It really didn't matter what that walk looked like as long as I do a devotional some mornings when I feel like it, and it's kind of an ought to because I knew I should do it that day. And so the focus was really be on me doing the right steps as a Christian because this is what a good Christian does. And I would tell you what part of that does is you just start growing in knowledge and just growing in the Word. Is that it changes my desire to a want to where it's a focus of worship. And so I do things because I realize what Christ has done for me. It leads me to a place of worship, which leads me to a place of change. And so it's just a total shift from perfection to worship. Change is still happening, but God is doing all that change, and it's not just such a self-driven effort. And the focus isn't on me.
Yeah, and it's not just you, you know. I've been there too, checking the boxes, and even still struggle about checking those boxes and have to continually remember what Jesus has done for me and what he's calling me towards.
Well, I think that's a great point. I was just having this discussion yesterday afternoon with a guy that's in our D group, and he and I were talking about that same thing, is that it's a continual journey. It's something that transformation process isn't just a one-time thing. It's not something that happens a few years ago or at a certain point, but it's continuing. The more I realize who Jesus is, the more I realize how sinful I am, the more I realize how dependent I am on him more and more and more. And I think in the past where I saw that as, I'm a Christian, great, I'm saved, now the rest of my life's just going to be kind of tough, and we'll just deal with that. And my dependence wasn't on him. My dependence was more on me. So it has been just a continual transformation of God just continuing to show me areas, make me more aware of my sin and more aware of where his grace covers that.
Don't you feel like, too, that you become more aware of those times when you start to do those things more just in that performance mode?
Absolutely.
And I've found that for me, there's times I just have to stop and just say, Lord, help my heart. Like, help me to desire you.
Absolutely.
And not to just be doing this, going through the routine. Help me to recognize my need for you. Because I can get so independent and just think that I can do this.
Right.
And I need that reminder that I can't even take a breath without him.
That's exactly right. And one of the ways it's helped to have that reminder is be surrounded by solid Christian people. And I think about people in our D group that I can have those conversations with and that also notice it. When they see me going through more of that performance type stage, whether it be with my Christian walk, whether it be with a D group, they be able to point that out in a very loving way, but have a very honest conversation. So good to be connected with people that'll do that.
That really is a good reminder of just the importance of community, how we help one another in this journey and encourage one another.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So one of the, like, we use transformation here. We at Fellowship, we use the word transformation. A lot of other believers use the word sanctification. That shows up. And talking about this journey that we have from our salvation throughout the rest of our lives as we're growing more to be like Christ. So what has that looked like for you? What does this journey of daily growth to be more like Christ look like for you?
Yeah, so it continues to grow and it continues to change. So part of that is, like I was talking about, the desire from an ought to a want to. And so that's one of the first things I noticed that was a big change for me, is that before, there was a whole lot of actions I thought that I ought to do. And then the desire to do that, when life does get busy and I do miss out, I long to spend time with him. I long to be with him. And it's not because I haven't and I feel like I ought to check a box. It's a true, I miss that daily relationship, that daily walk. And I'll tell you, life feels off. And sometimes I do get busy and things will happen to where I don't spend the time in it that I would like to be able to. And when I feel that. And so that's been a continual change.
You know, that's an interesting point, David, because I've talked with a lot of people who say that it's still an ought to. I really wish I had that desire to be with Jesus more,
right,
to spend more time in his word. I just don't have that desire. And I had a pastor kind of take my shoulder one time and say, you know what, if that desire is not there in your life, but you want to have that desire, it's kind of a funny thing to talk about. Like, I don't have the desire, but I want to have that desire to spend more time with Jesus. Why don't we just stop and pray and ask him that? Say, God, give me the desire to be with you more.
That's right. Yeah, I think it's a great prayer. One of the prayers that David Burns and I used to pray all the time together is, God, let me be willing to be willing. And that may be our first start sometimes, is that that's our first step, is that we would be willing to open our hearts and be able to and have that relationship.
So what are some of the things that God has used in your life to bring like moments of, okay, I need to reroute my life?
Yeah.
It's not going the right direction.
Yeah. So I would tell you, well, first off, it's been a relationship with our pastors. Having a very good relationship with people like David Burns in the church. And I keep mentioning him as a mentor, as a pastor, as really just become a friend. And so at first meeting
you're on the David Burns fan club.
I am. And so he and I would meet. And I think it was because when we would meet, he really would speak the truth with love and grace. It's surrounding yourself with solid Christian people who love you enough to speak the truth to you. And not just tell you what you want to hear, what you think may make you feel comfortable, but really challenge you in that growth. He provided so many resources, and part of that was even other friendships. He would encourage, like one of the things I remember him doing, is encouraging a strong group of guys, solid Christian men that I could do life with and be honest with, and that would help encourage me in the Christian growth. A D group has provided just that. And so when I think of transformation and how that works, definitely solid Christian friendship is definitely a part of that transformation process. God uses those relationships to help sharpen each other, to help challenge each other, and really help speak the truth to one another through Scripture. It's that's been an amazing relationship, and it's been so beneficial.
So have you seen, how have you seen this life change, this becoming like Jesus in attitude and action, affect what your involvement here at the church?
Yeah, so I've seen it big time. And so I can remember back before the transformation period where I was really kind of checking boxes. I remember even telling the D group I was a part of that time, I really didn't have a desire to even be in a D group. I did it, and I was there, but because I knew I was supposed to. The church really encouraged that, so I did it. But my desire really wasn't there. So I've seen it change from that aspect within the church, to where not only do I have a desire, but God actually, you know, called a few of us to help lead a D group. And so to be able to help lead others that are going through similar life stages as we were in. And so it's been an amazing process to be able to see transformation from that aspect as well. Not only me being able to lead in that capacity, because God just does an amazing work in that, but also be able to see transformations that are happening within the group. That is so encouraging on your Christian walk. When you see God working in other people's lives and you see them, even like on Sunday mornings, you're coming together in corporate worship, you know the conversations you've had with them, and you see them just worship in the mornings. That is just such an amazing experience and something that brings me back to Christ and my dependence on Him. I see other people going through that.
Yeah, back at Dwell, the very first session of Dwell this year, Aaron Williams had that message where he was talking about that, that too many times we're trying to be about God and we're trying to know more about God or we're trying to do things for God. And we really just need to be with God. And actually, last night, my wife and I were having a conversation around the value of transformation with our church. And I said, isn't it interesting that our definition, how we describe transformation, is becoming like Christ or becoming like Jesus in attitude and action. Why is it attitude and action? Why are those the words that we use to describe transformation? And why isn't it information or I know more about my Bible? Why aren't those the words that we use? Why do we use attitude and action to describe our transformation in Jesus? And really, I think that it's because we get to a place where our heart takes over, where we're wanting to be with God, and our life of being Jesus in the community, in our church, is just lived out in attitude and action. It's reflecting what we know to be true about Jesus. Because we can know a lot of things, but the Bible also talks about faith and works, and our faith is proven by our works, by our attitude and our actions, and how we live that out on a daily basis.
Yeah, I agree. It's also encouraging when people, they can see that reflection. They can see the change. You know, as I think back at that, I think about how the change has impacted my career. So even in the workplace, people that I worked with before just a total transformation can see such a difference. In fact, I had a conversation with one of those people today just before coming in.
What kind of work do you do?
And so I work for Entergy, and I work at an electrical utility right here in Little Rock. We're in Arkansas, Louisiana, Mississippi, and Texas.
You said that very humbly. Energy is a big company.
Yeah, we are. We are. We have a few people that work there. So it's been a great, just being able to see that other people recognize the transformation and then the life change that goes along with what you're talking about doing life with Jesus. It changes your life. People see it.
So how has that transformation, how have you seen transformation take place in your workplace?
Yeah, really, main thing is relationships. I can remember coming in and being very different as an employer, as a boss. I can remember having employees that worked for me, and I kind of looked at it as when they walk in the door, work starts. And I really wanted to just talk about work and work only. And so if you have any kind of personal problems, why don't we check that at the door, and we'll pick it back up whenever we leave out. And I will tell you, what has changed in that is that whenever we're at work, what I realize is that life is all about being, part of life is, all, I guess, being at work. And so we talk about life in that. And through that, I've been able to have several conversations about my walk with Christ with employees at work, whether it be at lunch, we're going through something tough, we're having a sit-down conversation, and we're able to talk about how God has just really continued to change our lives and what God's doing in that aspect. It's been huge.
That's
good. That's great. Well, speaking of relationships, you mentioned earlier that you're engaged.
I am.
We did not mention who you're engaged to.
Ah.
And she's someone very special to us as well. So you're engaged to Jessie Finn, who's on our team.
She works with us, yes.
With Dane and I. And you know, for those of you that have interacted with Jessie, you know what a gift she has really been to our church, the way that she served so well. And so I just couldn't let this moment pass without mentioning that as well.
Thank you so much. No, that's another place we talk about God working and God just being in the middle of that. We just had lunch earlier and we were talking about how God was in the middle of this from the very get-go, how it's just amazing looking back and how you don't know what he's up to. Until you try and you look and you see what he's done, and he gets all the credit and the glory for that. And I'm so thankful for that relationship.
That's good. That's good. Well, thanks for coming here today to meet with us and talk with us on Fellowship Talks and share a little bit more of your life and just your understanding how God has changed your heart over the years. David, I know you've listened to Fellowship Talks a few times. What have you been doing when you listen to Fellowship Talks?
Typically, mine's when I work out, either workout or driving. So nice. I put it on, so it's a place where I can have my thoughts. When I'm working out, I have my thoughts about what's going on there, and driving, I can be able to listen as I'm going down the road. It's been great.
Good, good. So don't forget to send us your thoughts, your comments. How do you listen to Fellowship Talks? What do you use to listen to Fellowship Talks? Is it on your phone? Is it on your computer? What are you doing? So maybe you somehow have it tied into a radio. That'd be really cool. Let us know if it's tied into your radio. I don't know. Amy, as we wrap up this conversation, I was actually scrolling through Instagram, and I came across an account that I follow, Acts 29 Media, and they had a quote from Paul David Tripp. It says, "The ultimate purpose of the Word of God is not theological information, but heart and life transformation." Mm-hmm. And I guess that's why it's one of our values here at Fellowship, right? Mm-hmm. We want to see people's lives changed as they interact with who Jesus is, because when you interact with Jesus, you can't not be changed.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So until next time, Fellowship, I'm Dan.
And I'm Amy.
For As You Go, this is Fellowship Talk.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Fellowship Talks. We hope this podcast will help you be a more effective disciple of Jesus Christ as you love God and you love others in your daily context. Fellowship Bible Church exists to make disciples who live by God's grace and for His glory at home and across the world.